The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello there. This is Fred Brack from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, as it always is, and they have been serving the community since 1974. Like to talk to them? They can be reached by calling 919-781-1973. We turn now back to the March 2018 edition of Our State magazine celebrating North Carolina. The theme this month is the legendary and landmark pies of North Carolina. We started an article after the Pictoria last month entitled The Legendary and Landmark Pies of North Carolina, and we're going to pick up where we left off. They're short articles about pie in different parts of our 100-county state. We finished up at Wayne County at Applejack's last time. Let's turn to Rose Hill, Duplin County, and Grape Hull Pie. In 1975, its inaugural year, Duplin Winery produced 20 cases of wine. Fast forward to now, and that number leaps to 500,000. Duplin is North Carolina's oldest winery and largest by volume. Between Duplin's own vineyards and its 50-plus family farmers, the winery processed more than 14,000 tons of muscadines during the grape's most recent fleeting September season, as summer reluctantly made way for fall. Some of those grapes, however, never became wine. They became pie. In 2001, Duplin opened its restaurant, The Bistro. Think fried green tomatoes and crab cake sandwiches, plus Mama Ann's Grape Hull Pie. Co-owner Jonathan Fussell, part of the third generation to lead the business, says this dessert was such a fixture of his upbringing that he can't remember a time in his life without it. It's been made in this area for a long time. Long, long time. Duplin's recipe comes from Jonathan's cousin, the late Ann Fussell. While the pie is a regional classic, it is also difficult to track down. Not because folks don't love it when they try it, but because it's so labor-intensive to make. Duplin's recipe features a homemade pastry crust and shiny meringue topping. The filling is the catch. They hand-press the muscadines to separate the thick skin and juicy pulp, then remove the seeds. Then, of course I can't give you all the details, Jonathan laughs, there are family secret. That's Grape Hull Pie in Duplin Winery, Rose Hill. How about blueberry pie, something a little more common? An old Carolina eatery in Burgaw. Dee's Drugstore was 100 years old when it closed in 2016. A classic pharmacy meets soda fountain, Dee's was the place in Burgaw for a BLT and an ice cream soda. But it was more than that. It was a community center, which is why, as the town mourned its loss, Leanne Carroll opened a new spot to honor the drugstore's memory, Old Carolina Eatery. Carol snagged Dee's tables and menu favorites like egg salad sandwich and hot dogs. And even the woman who, for 14 years, ran its lunch counter, Frances Burns. I've been cooking my whole life, Burns says. My mom taught me everything I know, like how to make blueberry pie from scratch. That's the first thing that flies off the shelf, Carol says. Burgaw is tucked within Pender County, which hosts the annual North Carolina Blueberry Festival. Burns' recipe is as classic and cozy as it gets. The fruit is soft and loose and oozes out at you, she says. Don't come in here looking for fancy, but do look for flaky pastry crusts and lots of friendly faces. Our goal is to make everyone feel comfortable, Burns says. When you come in here, you are coming home. Tomato pie at Smoky Shadows Lodge in Maggie Valley. In 1956, when she was a teenager, Ginger Shin and her family stayed a spell at the Smoky Shadows Lodge in Maggie Valley. They were on vacation from their home in Miami, and something about that week, that long, stretching porch, that view of the mountains, 3,600 feet up in the world, stuck with Ginger. Almost 30 years later, she and her husband decided to purchase a property in North Carolina. Ginger checked the newspaper every Sunday until one week she recognized the listing. "This has to be Smoky Shadows," she remembers saying. It was like a dream. Today, she runs the lodge with her family, including her daughter Tracy, who cooks their country gourmet fare, including a locally famous cheesy tomato pie. A family friend shared the recipe, which Tracy tweaked and tailored until she got it just right. These days, she doesn't even need the recipe. "I don't measure," she says. "Just do it all by sight." She starts with a pastry crust, which she fills to the brim with layers of sliced tomatoes. They need to be firm, and a mixture of mayonnaise, mozzarella and other cheeses, basil, garlic, and lemon pepper. At the lodge, Tracy bakes at least one for every table at each meal. "There were a couple of times we didn't make it," Ginger says, and oh, we heard about it. How about pecan pie, or even pecan pie if you prefer that, in Creedmoor? Paula Ellington's parents, Bobby and Nita Whitfield, opened Bob's Barbecue on July 13, 1970, a day after their 17th wedding anniversary. Nita's father, Bob Witt, ran his own barbecue business in the 50s, so when he and his wife, Ethel, decided to retire, Nita lured them to Creedmoor with a promise of helping her at a new restaurant whenever they pleased. Turned out, they wanted to help out a lot. Ellington's grandfather tended to the vinegar-sauced pork shoulder, while her grandmother baked pies, a lot of pies. Chocolate chess, buttermilk custard, coconut pineapple, and Ellington's sister's favorite classic pecan. "It's very traditional recipe," Ellington says. "Nothing hokey. The pecans, the family swears by pieces rather than halves, came from Georgia. But beyond that, well, it's a family secret, and we don't give it out," Ellington adds. She and her sister, Carla Magnum, led the business for more than 20 years. Last fall, they decided to retire. This, Ellington says, is when she realized just how many people cherished her family's legacy. "We were the most loved and the most hated women in Creedmoor," she laughs. "It was humbling. We've been very blessed these 47 years, and who would have ever thought we would be here that long?" Sweet potato pie at Mama Dip's, Chapel Hill. Mama Dip's has been a Chapel Hill fixture for more than 40 years, and everyone has their favorite dishes. Fried pork chops, chicken and dumpling, macaroni and cheese. Then there's dessert, banana pudding, cream cheese pound cake, pecan pie. The last is particularly popular. Founder Mildred Mama Dip Cotton Council even made it on Good Morning America in the 90s. But if you ask the council family about one of their favorite pies, they'll tell you sweet potato. "It was something we had all the time. Sunday suppers, church, homecomings, Thanksgiving, Christmas." Mildred's daughter Spring remembers, "The sweet potato pie sells well," she explains, "because we're one of the few restaurants where you can find it." Like pumpkin pie, Mama Dip's sweet potato pie has a custardy filling made with milk, eggs, and melted butter, plus warm spices like cinnamon and nutmeg. Pardon me for taking out a moment to wet the whistle. Something's gone very dry inside me. But unlike pumpkin pie, which often relies on canned puree, the sweet potatoes are boiled until tender, then mashed until smooth. This sort of handmade touch, literally, that sets Mama Dips apart. Growing up, we were always in the kitchen with Mama, watching her cook, Spring says, and that's how she taught us, by touch and feel. Pumpkin pie aboard the USS North Carolina. On Thanksgiving 1943, the thousands of sailors aboard the USS North Carolina, then stationed off the Gilbert Islands in the Pacific, were served a feast. There was baked ham and giblet gravy, whipped potatoes and Waldorf salad, French peas and Parker House rolls, pumpkin pie and ice cream. And, of course, cigars and cigarettes, says Battleship North Carolina's curator, Mary Ames Booker. Those were a big treat. Big, it seems, is key here. After the battleship was decommissioned in 1947, various documents were recovered, including Baker Donald Ayer's pie dough recipe. If you want to recreate it, you'll just need 200 pounds of flour, 96 pounds of shortening, and 6 pounds of salt. And don't overmix. Too much mixing, Ayers warned, makes the crust tough. But beyond the mammoth quantities, the sailors' recipes are similar to what home cooks make today. The custardy pumpkin filling, as recorded by baker Oscar David Taylor, includes evaporated milk, sugar, and eggs spiced with cinnamon, nutmeg, and ginger, all the better enjoyed with a scoop of ice cream or even a cigar. Chocolate chess pie. When Van Eure's father, Thad, passed away suddenly in 1988, she dropped everything to run the family business, the famed Angus Barn in Raleigh. The place seats almost 1,000 people who flock there for juicy grilled steaks and chocolate chess pie. Van's mother, Alice, developed the pie recipe in the late 60s with the help of waitress Betty Sugar, who worked at the Angus Barn for more than 50 years. Now the restaurant makes at least 100 chocolate chess pies per day and serves them warm with vanilla ice cream or whipped cream. You can also buy one to take home or ship a pie anywhere in the country. Van herself doesn't eat them. Not anymore. She still remembers a six-week stint helping out in the kitchen. Thad noticed that something was off with the pies. They were missing their signature crackly, crusty top. Van had to figure out why. Every day I took one to his office and we'd taste it, she remembers. Again, again, again. One of the tricks, it turned out, was how long you left the pie in the oven to cool. Finally, she says, we got it perfect. And in contrast to chocolate chess pie, how about vinegar pie from Dillsboro? I can't help think of dill pickle when we say Dillsboro and vinegar pie. The Jarrett House was the first North Carolina restaurant I've ever ate in, Kathleen Barker remembers. Like the Jarrett House itself, she and her husband Ben are culinary legends around here for their iconic award-winning restaurant. The Magnolia Grill, which lived in Durham from 1986 to 2012, years before that, when Ben was a student at Western Carolina University, he worked at the Jarrett House as a server, Karen says, and ate a slice of vinegar pie every shift he worked. The Cozy Inn was a fixture amid the mountains in Dillsboro for more than a century. It opened in 1884 and just recently closed, and the vinegar pie was arguably its most famous offering. This old-school southern dessert is a classic desperation or make-do or pantry pie. In other words, a recipe that relies on kitchen staples versus seasonal perishable ingredients. Instead of using apples, say, use apple cider vinegar. And instead of using buttermilk, use a lot of melted butter. The result is as humble as it is addictive. Lemon milk pie. At Harker's Island. Harker's Island locals call it lemon milk pie. Half an hour away in Morehead City, they know it as Downeast lemon pie. Others simply say lemon meringue pie. But any way you slice it, same pie. What everyone can agree on is why this recipe is so prevalent along the coast, a belief that you shouldn't have dessert after eating seafood unless it's lemony. No one quite knows how or why this idea took hold. I started waiting tables when I was 13, and I couldn't believe that people ate dessert after seafood, Karen Ampacher remembers. That was a shock. These days, Ampacher makes lemon milk pies at the Core Sound Waterfowl Museum and Heritage Center in Harkers Island for various events and fundraisers. Just like ladies from her church did, she lines a pie tin with Ritz crackers, some crushed, others whole, then pours in a lemony custard made with sweetened condensed milk. Top that with billowy meringue and toss it in the oven until tanned and bronzed, like tourists sunbathing on the beach. In Moorhead, meanwhile, Southern Salt Seafood Company is carrying on the legacy of the iconic Captain Bill's restaurant. There, Albert Cowan styles the pies to look like the beach. Crushed crackers resemble sand, and swirls of whipped topping look like the waves as they curl and then crash into the shore. Atlantic Beach Pie will wrap us up for today. Crook's Corner in Chapel Hill. It was almost by accident, Bill Smith says, and now I can never take it off the menu. In 2011, Smith helped host a coastal North Carolina-themed dinner for the Southern Foodways Alliance Symposium. For dessert, he wanted to recreate the lemon pie of his childhood, when the family went to the beach every weekend and the weather was good. I did some research, got some church cookbooks, poked around, he says. I called restaurants like Captain Bill's, The Sanitary, The Beacon, to see if they still made lemon pie, and they all did. For the Foodway guests, Smith made some tweaks. Instead of meringue, he opted for whipped cream, which doesn't sweat or shrink and is easier to execute for hundreds of people. And instead of the more common Ritz crackers, he chose saltines because, well, that's what was in his kitchen at the time. The pie was a hit. He added it to the Crook's Corner menu in Chapel Hill and called it Atlantic Beach Pie. One day, cookbook author Katie Workman swung by for dinner and tried it. And then it went viral, Smith remembers. NPR's All Things Considered featured it as a North Carolina pie that elicits an oh-my-God response. Southern Living called it the best dish of summer. The Atlanta Food and Wine Festival commissioned Smith to make 700 servings. Of course, not all feedback was positive. The whipped cream upset some people because I'm wasting egg whites, Smith says, and there's a big fight over which crackers to use. To boot, Smith tops the whipped cream with flaky salt. Not the way it's done traditionally, he says, or it's a whole new tradition. All that was written by Emma LaPerrouque, a food writer and recipe developer at Food 52 in New York City. How about paddling for pie? The swampy, meandering Roanoke River is home to snakes, bears, bobcats, and perfect old-fashioned pie. Two sisters set off in search of a slice and to find out so much more. And you are listening to Our State Magazine on the Triangular Radio Reading Service. If you have any comments on our show, please call 919-832-5138. The Lower Roanoke River is a wild, forested swamp, slick with peat, speckled with bright green duckweed, and draped in Spanish moss. It begins as a trickle in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, and by the time it slithers into northeastern North Carolina and passes the fall line, it stops playing by the rules. Here it spills out, untamed and unapologetic, into the surrounding forest, wetting the hems of the ancient cypress trees. This is choice spawning ground for herring, shad, and striped bass, that's rockfish, depending on who raised you, and a secret lair for bears and bobcats, otters and eagles, red-bellied water snakes, and migratory warblers. According to my big sister Karen, it's also home to a great pie. In the midst of this lush and wild marshland is a tin-roofed restaurant called the Cypress Grill. Open January through April, it's hallowed ground for fisher folk and locals who come for the crispy fried herring and rockfish stew. Almost no one leaves without pie. I'm a sucker for any larky adventure that involves pie, and it doesn't take much to convince my sister to go paddling. So, with a nod to the local mayfly whose entire adult life is measured in minutes or hours, we seize a rare moment when both of us are free and head to the Roanoke. It's a warmish spring day in late April, one day before the Cypress Grill closes for the 2017 season. We figure we'll paddle until we've worked up an honest appetite. Pie is best when it's well-earned. My sister is a naturalist and a teacher. At 54, she still spends so much time outdoors that her resting state involves binoculars and a field journal. Gutsy and curious with an outrageous sense of humor, she's always been the Huck to my Tom. "I'm a little worried about the snake," she says casually about 30 minutes into our expedition. Her bright yellow kayak lags 10 feet behind mine, but I don't need to turn around to see what she's up to. Her affinity for snakes has terrorized me since I was 3 and she was 5, and she tried to introduce her pet garter snake into our shared bath. As a child, she had so many snakes and lost so many snakes that our mom developed a particular snake scream that was never mistaken for anything else. Once an eastern king snake escaped in the car, and for weeks we all rode with our feet on the seats. But in this moment, it's Karen's use of the word "this" that has concerned me. This denotes proximity. A bit earlier, I'd scooted past a substantial tar-colored snake floating half-heartedly in a river eddy. As Karen glides past me, I recognize that snake on the nose of her kayak, passed out like a spring break tourist. I'm not here for the snakes or the paddling, truth be told. My sister had promised pie so good and a place so charming that the very idea of it once inspired her and a fellow naturalist to persevere through a wicked storm on this very river. As Karen tells it, horizontal rain pricked their cheeks and gales of wind stunted their progress, but still they paddled on, knowing that they were less than a mile upriver from the Cypress Grill. "I'm going to have the chocolate pie," Karen hollered over the tempest. "No, the coconut. That's it. I'm having coconut pie when we get there." The promise of that pie kept them going. As it must be for me, too. Instead of heading downriver for chocolate or coconut, we're traveling upriver alongside the swamp. Karen's snake recovers and is released, but there are bird calls to follow next and suspicious insects in the water to examine. But I know what Karen's really looking for. One snake is never enough for her. That pie calls to her, too, eventually. When I glimpse the restaurant, I take the lead and head across the river. I'm thinking that lemon pie and proper meringue height when out of the corner of my eye I spot a wad of brown water snakes entangled in the shadows. I know very well that if I point out those snakes, pie will once again be postponed. But I'm a little sister and I can't resist proving that I, too, can find a snake. "Two brown snakes," I shout without thinking. Karen spins her kayak around, pulls into the shallow water, and then gets out to document them for her Instagram feed. By the time Karen and I finally pull our kayaks onto the boat ramp, the Cypress Grill is humming with activity. A spring breeze slips through the screened windows, which are shuttered in January, but today are wide open and welcoming. We find a booth by the window and announce to the waitress our plan to bypass lunch and go straight to the pie. "One slice of each kind," I say. Nearby at the cash register, owner Kathy Davis is greeting customers who come to say goodbye for the season. Apparently, Karen and I aren't the only mayflies who've made a special trip here today. "I hate to see y'all close," one woman says as she pays her bill, "but I'm sure you won't miss working." Kathy smiles warmly, but you can measure the length of the season by the look in her eyes. The Cypress Grill has been a family affair since 1974, when Kathy's mom and dad, Sally and Leslie Gardner, started running the seasonal venue as a side business to farming. On any given day, family members, most of whom still live within shouting distance of each other, are at the restaurant. Waiting table, cleaning fish, peeling potatoes. 3 generations are present today, including Kathy's inquisitive 14-year-old daughter, Summer, who grew up napping under the candy counter, and her spunky 76-year-old mother, Sally, who's wearing a hot pink Cypress Grill t-shirt. On the last week of the season, I used to say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everyone, Sally says, laughing as she tells about the days when she also ran the restaurant. I just got to know so many good people down here. In 2012, Sally and Leslie retired and handed over operations to Kathy. That's when Sally put herself in charge of making the pies, which she bakes fresh every morning in her kitchen down the road. Except for the pecan, which inexplicably she prefers to buy ready-made. Last year, she made about 800, 20-plus a day. I just like pie, she says buoyantly, and I give out the recipes. It's not a secret. Not long ago, Summer started helping her grandmother. In the kitchen were a pot of chocolate bubbles on the stove and a line of pies cools on the counter. Before the pies are slipped into a wooden pie cabinet. Sally documents each one in a composition notebook, season after season, pie after pie, and when January rolls around again, she and Kathy know just what's needed. This is not a flashy pie or fancy pastry. It's familiar and comforting, like old-fashioned pie is supposed to be, and made fresh every day by someone who expects she'll come back for more. The lemon is tangy but not overly tart. The coconut is sweet and sticky. The chocolate, Summer's favorite, is cool and creamy. Karen tends to the kayaks while I pay the bill. Through the window, I can tell from her stance that she's found another snake, this one quite tiny. As I watch her, Kathy mentions that they've got two dinners and one lunch to serve, but she doesn't need a calendar to tell her when it's time to close up for the year. The warmer it gets and the snakes start coming out, me and the snakes, we don't get along good. When Kathy turned the key to reopen the restaurant in January, the Roanoke River was cold, the breeze chilly, and the snakes nowhere to be found. Long gone, too, was that bright April morning I shared with Karen, searching for snakes and talking pie with Sally. A snapshot in a box full of favorite memories. But it turned out to be more than just a snapshot. It was far more important than we could ever have known, than we ever would have wanted to know, in fact. That day was one of Sally's last at the Cypress Grill. The pies we ate with her and the summer at the table, our crumbs on the blue checked tablecloth, were some of the last she ever made. In July, Sally suffered an aneurysm, and Kathy, Summer, and their family found themselves saying an all-too-early goodbye to the vivacious woman they considered their rock. Pie-making will now fall to Kathy and her dad. That was written by Robin Yeget Smith, who's a film producer, journalist, and a contributor to Our State magazine. She lives in Chapel Hill. If you would like to visit the Cypress Grill, well, it hasn't closed yet, has it? 1520 Stewart Street in Jamesville, North Carolina. You can call them, make sure they're open, 252-792-4175. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. Questions? Comments? Call us, studios, 919-832-5138. So long until next time.